Well, hello again. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. And I'm glad that you're here, brothers and sisters, and thank you again for honoring the Lord and taking time and sitting down on purpose and studying God's Word with us. We study God's Word because we love God's Word, and our God is a true, living God. He's real, and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is real, and we know that. And we study His Word because it's alive also. It lives, it liveth, and abideth forever. Well, we're going to try to wind up today, possibly, if the Lord will. Witnessing is where we've been, study number 23 with the letter W. And we've been talking about witnessing. To recap just a little bit, we talked about what does witnessing mean. We talked about, are witnessing and soul winning the same thing? Remember that? And we talked about also, why should you be a witness and a soul winner? Why? And we described that in a few ways and found it in God's Word that it's a command for us to tell others. Of course, that was to the early church and to the apostles that the Lord said those things to. But it was the beginning of the church, and in a roundabout way, you know, a doctor couldn't sit there, a true doctor couldn't sit there and watch some child suffer without trying to do something about it. And a fireman couldn't, a true fireman that cared, couldn't sit there and watch somebody inside of a fire without trying to do something about it. And a born-again, Bible-believing child of God that's in the family of God cannot look a person in the eyes and see their soul back behind their eyes that's going to live forever and not want to do something about it in one of two places, either heaven or hell, one or the other. That's the only two places the Bible talks about. It doesn't talk about any other destination for a soul. Heaven and hell, that's it. So it's a command. It's something that's written in our hearts that it's something that we should do. It's a duty. It's a debt. It's a responsibility. And that's not all. It's a calling. There are missionaries and there are evangelists and there are people that make it their walk with the Lord and their work with the Lord that they go after souls and nothing but souls. The Lord has put us in the body as He sees fit and has given us talents as He seen fit. And you're not to try to present yourself with the same measure that the Lord has given somebody else. The Lord has given you your measure, and you're to stay within your measure. But when it comes to witnessing, there's things that you can do to bring people to the Lord. And we've been talking about that also. We talked about, is witnessing the duty of every Christian? Well, specifically, in the scriptures, the Bible does talk to us. We've been talking about it, and of course the answer is yes, it is a duty, but for every Christian, but it's a different duty for every Christian, but the results are the same. People get saved. And I remember when I was assistant director at this men's camp up in Pennsylvania, one thing that he used to say about those troubled men is heroin addicts and dopers, you know, and drunkards and just troubled men. And whenever they would come in and some of the guys would stay for a while and they figured they'd had enough and enough of God and they didn't want any more God. One thing that the devil always did up there was that when a fella come in there, the very first thing that we did was try to get him saved. We talked about his eternal destiny first rather than what was going on in his life in that body right now. So we tried to handle that first, and if he did get saved, then the devil would do all he could do to give that reason, his flesh against him, whether it been booze or drugs or whatever it was. He would use his flesh against him and try to run him out of there. Because the program was for a year. And one thing the pastor said, when one of those guys would leave, one thing the pastor always said was, well, at least we got him saved. And there's some truth in that. There's some truth in that. No matter what happens to him. Now, that's not an excuse for us to go out and play around in the flesh and the world and play around with the devil's business. We're to live holy lives. God had not called you unto uncleanness, but unto holiness, the Bible says. Now, we're not under works, and we're not going to answer in God's courtroom, but we are going to answer at the Lord Jesus Christ's throne for what we did in the body. So it's important for us to behave like Christians also. I was reading something the other day, and it says, as a matter of fact, this morning in my study, and it says, God is not the creator of all things, God is the creator of all things. However, he is not the creator of all their behaviors. It makes good sense, doesn't it? But is witnessing the duty of every Christian? And yes, it is. Yes, it is. But first, when we're talking about this witnessing, the very first study, I believe, when we started this out, we determined that witnessing is from the heart. You can legislate it and put it in rules and do this and do that and hut 2, 3, 4 and turn left and turn right about witnessing and make a big old, I don't know what you want to call it, just legalize it somehow in the church that this is what we do and da 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 da. But the fact of the matter is, after you're born again, you know what the Lord has done for you. And the reason that we care about souls and we do all that we can to care about souls, and it should be written in our heart because of what Jesus has done for us. He did it for me. And if he done it for you, it should be written in your heart to desire that everybody be saved. Of course, we know that's not going to happen because the Bible says that hell hath enlarged herself to receive them at their coming. And that could have been me or you. But every soul matters as if that was the whole bit of the loss. If one soul, if you could get one soul out of hell and get them born again, that would be worth your entire walk in the body after you got saved. One soul. Because whatever happens when it comes to this witnessing business, we're talking about eternal things. We're not talking about temporal things that are going to pass away and go away. We're talking about things that are going to be for eternity. When a soul gets saved, just like yours, when you got born again, you were put into the family of God by God the Holy Ghost, and you're in there forever. Forever. There's no time concerning your salvation. Your salvation is sealed. It's done. And so is everybody else's that we talk to. So witnessing is from the heart. Whether it be watering, you remember we began talking about that, how often should you witness, we talked about, and what is God's requirements for you to witness for Christ. We went over those things, and then we got into the last bit of this lesson, and we done part of it on the last recording. 4 steps for soul winning to be a witness. 4 steps to a soul winning witness is what we talked about. And there were 4 steps. First one was to go. The second one was what? You remember? It was to sow, right? To sow. And this witnessing in the scriptures is compared to a planting, or kind of like farming. There's certain things that you got to do before you do the other things. I mean, you can't harvest something that you haven't sown, and you can't sow unless you go out into the field. You see, there's a certain way that it goes about. Now, every person is different when they come to the Lord, and the Lord only knows all the secret things about that. But what we can do, we ought to do. And if, like I told you before about that woman that was paralyzed and she wanted to do something for the Lord, so she just got her phone book out, and I don't remember how many it was. I think it was 20 or 50. I'm not sure. But it was something like that. And she just started putting her finger on places and started sending people envelopes with tracts in it, gospel tracts in it. And pretty soon she started getting return mail about people, about testimonies, about people getting saved off of those. You can do anything for the Lord. It's from the heart. It's from the heart. Now, of course, you can do it in a... And when I say legalistic, I'm not talking about hut 2, 3, 4. What I'm talking about is a way that's set up. You can do it in a way that's managed. Like, for instance, we're going to all show up at Thursday at church at 7 o'clock, and we're going to split up into pairs, and we're going to go out, and you go over here, and you go over here, and you go over here, and let's meet back here at such and such time. You know, unless you get tied up with some people. Not tied up, but get, you know what I mean. It takes you spending more time with them. Excuse me. The first step was to go. He that goeth forth, the Bible says. The Lord said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Go. The Bible says in Acts chapter 5, go, stand. And then we began talking about sowing. Sowing, and it was like planting. It was like going out into the field and planting the seeds. And what did we decide that the seed was? Bearing precious seed. What is the seed? The seed is the Word of God, according to Luke chapter 8 and verse 11. Now, I think I gave you those scriptures last time, whenever we finished. I hope I did. And I try to keep up with that. I wish I had one of you could poke me with something. Tell me, give me them scriptures, you know. But I'm sure... All you diligent, y'all bunch more diligent than I am. You're writing them down as we're saying them or something like that. But anyway, bearing precious seed, the seed is the Word of God. And the scriptures say that the Word of God is the incorruptible seed. The incorruptible seed, the Bible says. It says, being born again, not of corruptible seed. This is 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 through 25. The Bible says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. That's what we work with when we, that's how we were born again. Corruptible seed's not going to win you eternal life or get you to heaven. It's incorruptible seed. Seed that's planted that's incorruptible by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. The word of God is the seed, and we have to sow the seed, sow the word of God. It's God's word that draws. God the Holy Ghost takes God's word and draws people to himself and to the and gets them saved, draws them to the gospel. Now, it's imperative that you use the Bible when you're witnessing to people, because we have no power. I mean, we have God the Holy Ghost indwelling us, and he uses his power through us as we witness. Yes, but as far as us having any human power or any kind of power of our own, we don't. God the Holy Ghost is the power that works through us. Now, we sow. Now, we left off right there, and we left off with the title, How May I Sow? So let's go over some of that and see if we can just get on, get through this and these steps right here, and just see how this comes about. How may I sow? Well, the first thing is to get in the habit of carrying around sound gospel tracts. Now, you're not trying to trick anybody into getting saved, and it's not going to work like that, and it's not ever going to work like that, because God, the Bible says, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. You're not going to trick anybody. Why would you want to? Why would you want to deceive or trick anybody into getting saved or anything like that? Just tell the truth. Tell the truth, what you know to be the truth. Get in the habit of carrying those tracks around and get some good track. Like I said before, make you a track. Put your own testimony on it. How you got saved. People love to read stuff about what God has done for folks, especially if you're the one that hands them a track with your own testimony. You know, this is what God did for me. This is about me. Maybe you'd be interested in reading it. And they are. But get in the habit of carrying tracks around with you in your pocket if you can, or in your purse, ladies, or leave them in your car. So I mean, you're going to have to remind yourself and put them right in front of your face somewhere, because you're in a spiritual battle and the devil's going to do everything he can to try to get you to forget them tracks. So you have to make plans and provisions to not war a good warfare. Because the devil's going to do his part to try to keep you from using those tracks. He will. And you people that are witnessing, you know I'm speaking the truth. And you'll see, once you get out there, especially soul winning, and trying to do it on purpose, and trying to do it for the right reasons, and from the heart, and genuinely getting people saved, you're going to find out that it's a war. And that there are devils and unclean spirits out there that fight against you. And they do. You know, leave a track with those that you meet, your shop assistants, the places that you work. I mean, just let God, the Holy Ghost, lead you in that. Because He'll tell you, give Him a track. Give Him a track. He'll remind you if you're listening to Him. A lot of times, my old brain, I forget, and the Lord has to slap me. You know, give that man a track, you know, or something like that. But all your friends, don't be ashamed of the Lord. Leave a track in the phone booth. Of course, there ain't none of them anymore, but you can leave them. Leave them at a restaurant table. And in the waiting room, or leave it. Put one in a letter that you mail. Many people have been saved through silent witnesses of tracks. Tracks were part of my salvation. The Lord was preparing my heart with those chick tracks. I used to love to read those things. Those cartoon tracks. It was kind of like reading a. The comic strips in the newspaper and things like that, but Brother Chick, he would write those things out. Now his I don't know if it's his son or his assistant's doing it. Brother Chick's going to be with the Lord now, but is doing it and doing a fine job. But the Lord, when I seen that first one, I became interested in those little stories all the time, and every one of them ended with the gospel of the grace of God, that God would save me if I'd ask Him. And the Lord prepared me, and He sowed and He watered with those tracks with me. And when I got to Germany, I was already prepared. I already knew that Jesus died for me. I knew what the penalty was, because I'd been reading it. And people do read those things. And they'll read the one that you make about your testimony also, because it's true and it's real. And nobody can call it a lie, because it's factual, because it happened to you. Now, always make sure that your church, I put my name on there, and your church name and your phone number on track. You're not ashamed of that. A lot of people tell you don't put nothing on there, you know, and that's their business and that's how they do it, but not me. I'm not ashamed of the Lord. I want people to call me, and if they disagree with the tract and they call me, then we can talk about it. And while we're talking about it, I'm going to ask them if they're going to heaven. A lot of people think, I've not ever had anybody call me yet about those tracts, but if they do, they're going to hear what that tract's got to say. They've already read it, and they're going to call to get on me about it. You shouldn't be doing this. But people ain't going to call you and tell you what you shouldn't be doing when you're saying a good thing happened to you and God was responsible for it. What kind of nonsense is that? An idiot would call, yes, but not anybody that's serious about their soul. So, you know, I put my name on it, and I put my email on it. I don't put my phone number, but I do put my email on it, and a way that they can contact me, I sure do. But you do it however the Lord leads you to do it. But do it. Yeah, just do it. How may I sow? With tracts you may sow God's word, the Bible says. Invite people to church services. Now, if you have a church, and you have a good Bible-believing preacher that teaches you to trust and to believe that Bible, then bring somebody, invite them to come. I mean, when they get in there and they hear, if you got a preacher that will preach the Word of God and they're not coming in there hearing a bunch of theatrical nonsense, anybody can go anywhere. They can go to an AMC theater and see nonsense and a theatrical act. But if they're coming to a true Bible-believing assembly of the church, and your pastor, you can trust your, you have a pastor that's trustworthy to be able to give the word out, then bring them. Invite them to church. That's a way to sow. Don't give up when people tell you or decline the first time, because when you invite people to church, whether they come or not, they're thankful to have been invited, because this world has gotten so deceitful and ugly, and people are ugly to one another, and everybody's scared that somebody's going to try to do something. Nobody trusts nobody, and you invite them to church, that's just as pure as that can be. And while they're walking around, they'll think about that thing. And then if you invite them again, they might just say, yeah. But that's a way that you can sow. If they first decline, don't worry about it. Or make excuses, don't worry about it. Just be sincere about it, and the Lord will bless you with that. And one day, they'll probably show up and say, let's go to church. Work on bringing someone. Try it. Or at least attempt it, you know. The Lord said that when you, it's not whether or not you, how it ends up, it's that you, it come from the heart and that you tried it and that your motive was right about it. And when you get a burden for souls and you know that that person's going to, like David said, and then I found out their end, I know where they're going, I know what's going to happen to them, and I want to do something about it. You know, and that's the next thing about sowing is be soul conscious. People, when you're walking around during the day and you're looking at human beings, those bodies are going, everybody that you look like or look at is going back to the dirt. It's going to be laying in the dirt, and the worms are going to eat it one day. Every one of them. No matter how ugly, no matter how, the Lord calls them vile bodies. Every one of us got vile bodies. So that's the reason you ought to cover it up, because it's vile. And the Lord says it's vile. The only place that a body ought to be a looked at or appreciated or anything like that is in a marriage bed. Soul conscious. Ask God to help you to become aware of everyone you meet. That is a soul that's going to spend eternity somewhere. Try to cultivate the ability to insert some kind of witness in your conversation when you're talking to people. I mean, if you're saved, you speak Christian language anyway. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Those things matter. You know, share a blessing. Tell them something that the Lord's done for you. Share a verse that you love. Give them a warning. You know, had a man's that I'm an acquaintance. We're really kind of friends, but just friends that have not gotten together yet and done anything. You know, I don't know if he's a Christian or not, but in my neighborhood here, and his mama just passed away. Now, when somebody like that, when something like that happens, that is a time to speak to somebody about the gospel of Jesus Christ or talk to somebody about eternal things, because they are listening. Anybody that loses a loved one is probably one of the most best times to talk about eternal things. And they'll be open to it and ready to listen. And you can win them to the Lord. I mean, it just turns everything spiritual whenever somebody passes away for the people that are left behind. So, you know, we're talking about sowing. Tracts are a good way. Inviting people to church is a good way. And definitely being soul conscious, caring. Just caring. You know, don't be pushy or overbearing, and but don't be no silent partner either. One way is to get yourself and get your heart in the condition that it ought to be about your status and your state. You're camping out here. This is not your home. You're leaving here pretty soon, and you're going to end up with the Lord. Now that's something to talk about. And so are they. They're camping out here too. They're going somewhere. And that's not all. The last thing is to learn some scripture about salvation. Now, there's something that's called the Romans Road, and it is indeed genuine scripture from God's Word. And it is talking about exactly what we're talking about right now, and that is being born again by the Word of God. And how God says that people are born again, or can get born again, or can ask God for salvation. It's the plan of salvation taken from the book of Romans in the New Testament. Now, you might already know that, but there's only about four things that people need to know in order to get saved. The first thing is that there's the fact of sin. They have to admit that they're a sinner. They have to agree with God that they're a sinner. And Romans 3:23 says that, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And then the second thing is that there's a consequence for their sin after they leave that body. And they don't want to leave that body responsible for that consequence, because God says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Now, when he talks about death there, "For the wages of sin is death," now, sin doth bringeth forth death while you're in this body. It kills the body. Sin kills your body. But he's talking about the second death. The second death. And that's in Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. "But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Excuse me. The second death. So see, not only is it a fact that they're a sinner, but they have to understand that there's a consequence for their sin. And then, not only that, but the good news is there's a remedy for that sin, and that God provided a remedy. It says, "But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." That the Lord came and took care of the problem and finished it, and that if they would receive him and believe on him as their Savior, that he would save them and write their name down in the book of life, and that they have eternal life from then on. And then the last verse, the fact of sin, the consequences of sin, the remedy for sin, and then how to be saved. And that Romans 10:9-13 tells exactly how to do that. You see, you can use any scripture that you want that talks about the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel of the grace of God and how to be saved. God's word is what does it. And God, the Holy Ghost, is the one that draws them and actually places them into the body of Christ when they believe. But you as a witness and you presenting God's word to them and showing them the facts about what God's word says, this is a good way to do it because it is God's way. It is God's word, excuse me. The last thing in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 through 13, listen to this. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. And then Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And when you read that, that's the gospel of the grace of God. You present it to them. You know the scripture. You're showing the scripture to them. They have seen the scripture. Now they're responsible for the scripture. What's your choice? If Jesus would take you just like you are, would you be willing to accept him as your Savior? Yes, I would. Would you like to pray and ask him to be your Savior? Yes, I would. It's that simple. And if they say no, then it's no. If they say yes, then it's yes. They're not denying you. They're denying the Lord. You see, you are to take it and present it. And it's not only an honor, but you're fulfilling, you're doing something because you know what the Lord's done for you. That if they will just believe on Jesus, they can get into the body of Christ and have the Lord's word backing them up that they have eternal life and they never have to worry about it again. Isn't that wonderful? So you see, to sow, there are different ways that you can do it. And you can't do it wrong. If you're doing it from the heart and you're doing it because you care about souls and you mean it, and you pass out a tract, you're not doing that wrong. How do you witness to somebody to get them saved to do it wrong? There's no way to do it wrong. Invite people to church. Be soul conscious. However and whatever, life changes. Change your... your ways of everybody's different. Some people listen to you. Some people come to church. Some people take a tract. Some people some people listen to all of it. Some people answer the door for you. Just whatever and whenever and however. Get that gospel to them. You don't have to candy coat anything. God's word speaks for itself, and it goes right to the heart. All you have to do is let them hear it. And it goes right to the heart, and God the Holy Ghost deals with them inside their heart with his word. You ain't got to candy coat it and try to talk them into something and all the blabbity blabbity blab. Just put it out there. You ain't got to plan ahead. You ain't got to do all the... Just take the word and deliver the word, and it'll speak for itself. That's not all. You not only go, you not only sow, but we have to water. Sometimes we have to water the seed that's already been planted. There's people that you bump shoulders with all the time. That, like I said, I used to read those tracts all the time. And as I was walking along, somebody would say, I'd hear somebody say, praise the Lord, and it would water that word that I had read off that tract. That's within me, in my heart already. They would water it. I hear them quote some scripture or something like that. It would water. It would water it. And it would help that word to grow within me. You see. There's got to be water before the seed's going to come up. You see. And the Bible says in Psalm chapter 126 and verse 5, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Now, of course, that's talking about the sincerity of your heart about winning souls. And that when somebody gets saved and they are reaped, it brings a joy of its all its own when it comes to soul winning. It really, really does. And when you win somebody to Christ, you're going to experience it. You'll know. 126 verse 6 says, "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed," remember what we said the seed is, the precious seed is God's word, "shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." The Lord says that if you'll go and that you'll sow and you'll water, that you're going to bear fruit. The Lord works right along with you in the hearts of those people. And if there's anything at all that's truth in people's lives, with all deceit and deception and lying in this world today, is God's Word. Is God's Word. Acts chapter 20 and verse 31 says, "And as they went about to kill him, tidings came unto the chief captain of the band that all Jerusalem was in an uproar." I think I put the wrong scripture down there for that. Acts chapter 20 and verse 31 is talking about night and day when it comes to watering. Let me read it to you. Yeah, I put the wrong scripture. That's one thing. I appreciate y'all letting me read these scriptures so it shows me all my mistakes and I can correct them. But anyway, Acts chapter 20 and verse 31, the Bible says, "Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears." That's Brother Paul. And he talking about his diligence in, now notice he said, warn. That's part of witnessing too. Give them warning. Because the Bible says that the wrath of God is upon all the lost. The wrath of God is upon them. They just haven't reaped it yet. You see, all lost people have already been sentenced by God, or have already been condemned by God. They're guilty. The only reason they're going to stand before him in his courtroom is to find out the severity of their punishment, their sentencing. Everybody's going to go to the lake of fire, but there's different degrees of punishment. And when they go before the white throne, that's what they're going to find out there. But the Bible says with tears, and it said to warn them. Not only are you supposed to tell them the good news, which is the gospel, but you're supposed to warn them. All this hogwash in society now about not scaring anybody with the word of God and blah, blah, blah. 75% of the word of God is negative, if not more. Out of Jesus' preaching, he talked more about the lake of fire and hell fire than he talked about salvation. Yeah. And people are real quick to put hell on the back burner, even though they know it's on the back burner. And they need somebody to remind them. I didn't get saved myself because of everything I know, all the glorious things I knew about heaven, and I can't wait to see everything. I had not seen, ear heard, nor hath entered in the heart of man the things God hath prepared for them that love him. I got saved because whosoever is not written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I got saved because I didn't want to go to hell. And God's word scared me into getting saved. Now, that's pretty smart. And the Bible says that. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. God's a righteous judge as much as he is a wonderful and beautiful, tender, compassionate Savior. He's already provided everything there is for a man to go to heaven and escape all the wrath of God and the things having to do with sin. He's already provided everything. And if somebody flaunts their stinking nose up at him and turns the shoulder to him and turns their back to him and lifts the heel up to him, they're going to get it. Period. So, you see, Paul said to warn them, and we're talking about watering. But part of watering is warning. One of the characteristics of soul winning for a soul winning Christian is a broken and compassionate heart. Not talking about a sissified heart. Talking about somebody that cares about a soul going to hell. Christ's kind of love. Christ's love. Not the love of the world. Christ's love. When Christ was, they was nailing him to that cross, after he had been scourged and his body ripped all to pieces, and on all he's been through, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." That is Christ's love. But at the second advent, when he comes back as the King of Kings and as a lion, the Bible says that he's not coming back to say, "Oh, well, you poor, pitiful soul, oh. He's coming back as a lion, and he's coming back to make war. And he's going to destroy people, and the blood's going to flow to the bridle of the horses, the Bible says. And he's going to judge as a righteous judge. No more compassion. It's time for judgment. The time for compassion is now. And you lift up the nose and turn up the heel, you're going to get it. And that's warning. That's telling people truth, and that they would take God's grace because they know of his righteous judgment. That's just plain smart. Only an idiot would take a chance in standing before a God that says, "I'm going to kill you, and I'm going to put you in hell and make you live there and burn there forever. But I made a way out for you, and if you'll take it, we'll forget all this, and I'll forgive you, and I'll treat you like my son and adopt you into my family." Only an idiot that can't understand that, or won't understand it, put it that way. You know, but shedding tears for lost people is a wonderful heart to have, and to care about the lost. And it is indeed genuine, and it is part of a Christian and a Bible believer's life. And the last thing is not only to go, to sow, to water, but to reap. You're not only going to get to plant the seed and to go out there day in and day out and sacrifice to do God's will and to get people saved, but you're going to get to reap people. There's going to be people that are going to accept Jesus Christ because of your witness, and the Lord's going to let you reap them. And you're going to bring them in, and they're going to get eternal life. The Lord's going to give them eternal life, and you're going to get to rejoice over that because of your labor in there. And the Lord's going to give you joy. The Lord answers you in the joy and the joy of your heart, the Bible says. The second greatest joy of the Christian life, after the joy of salvation, of our own salvation, it's the joy of actually leading a precious soul to Christ. To be a kind of a spiritual midwife or witness, to witness the miracle of the new birth. God promises you a harvest, and it is beautiful. And you don't never expect, you want everybody to accept God's, accept Jesus as their Savior when you're talking to them, but the sad fact is the majority of them are not going to. But some of them will. And that's the ones you're going after, is the ones that want Christ. God doesn't even accept the ones that don't want him. He says, you don't want me, I don't want you. You're going after the ones that do want him. Psalm chapter 126, verse 5, we read just a while ago, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. And the Bible says also in 126:6 he that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seeds shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. The Lord says if you'll go and you'll sow and you'll water and you'll, then you will reap. The Lord's going to give you a soul. And he has me, and he has everybody that I know that has a burden for souls and is trying to help the Lord win people to him. So you say, how may I reap? Well, plan to. I mean, if you're soul winning and you mean it in your heart, people know what you mean in your heart when you're talking to them, and they know if you're serious or whether you're just some kind of salesman out there trying to get them to join a group or something, you know. But when you're out there and you have a real burden for human beings and the souls that are back behind their eyes, there's nothing more in-depth about caring for a human being than caring about their soul, because that's who they are. You can care about people's bodies, but those bodies are going back to the dirt, and everybody knows it. There ain't one. You know how many people have died that have died? All of them. Yeah. And it's amazing how many Christians fail to win people, win those they witness to, simply because they don't expect to. You know, act in faith. The Lord said, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Take God at his word. He just got through telling you right there that if you go forth and you care in your heart about it and weep it, and you bear God's word and take God's word to them and show them the gospel, that you'll doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And you will. I don't know any person that I can think of, honestly, that has been sincere and caring about souls that hasn't won one. If there's no conviction when you're talking to people, people say, well, you know, I do things wrong, but I don't really think I'm a sinner. Well, they haven't even begun to get spiritual about the gospel of the grace of God. If you're not a sinner, then you don't need Jesus. But the fact of the matter, and if they won't admit they're a sinner, then, you know, I'd like to stay. I'd like to have Jesus and get to go to heaven and have a guarantee to go to heaven, but I don't want to give up my sin. It don't work like that. If they don't have any conviction of sin, and it's evident, then there's no understanding of what Christ has done. There has to be guilt. You have to be guilty before you can be clear, before you can be pardoned. Human nature expects to work for salvation. And that's how humans are. They want the proud title of saying, you know, I did this, God, you owe me salvation. God don't owe anybody anything. And he's already declared how this thing's going to work out when it comes to salvation and being saved and going to hell and going to heaven. And you can either take it the way God says and do it the way God says, or you can take your chances and try to figure it out on your own and end up in hell anyway. Christ has done it all. He said it's finished. Human nature expects to work for salvation. And if it's not time to reap somebody when you're out there soul winning, don't bother with it. Go to the next door. But leave the door open when you leave, you know, with that person. But you'll be able to tell, and you'll know what I'm talking about when you get there talking with them, and you'll know whether they mean business with the Lord or not and with God's Word. Explain to them carefully that salvation is believing. That this means receiving Christ, and that this is done through a simple prayer. There ain't no specific prayer or certain words, or the devil likes to complicate things like that, just like the Pharisees and the Sadducees did, you know. And we have those today that try to say, well, he didn't do this, or he did that, or he done too much, or he did too less, or blah, 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 and try to make God's salvation not simple as the Lord says it is. The simplicity of Christ. Well, I know some fellows that I read after, some of my mentors, that said when they received Christ, they was cussing while they was asking him to save them. Yeah, had such a filthy mouth that they was this and that and asking the Lord to save them because they blankety-blank this and blankety-blank, but the Lord saved him. The Lord sees through all that mess. He sees a genuine heart and who means it and who don't mean it. Now, the sinner's prayer, you know, ain't got no set format. When somebody wants to pray, I offer them to that I would lead them in prayer, but I make it very, very well known that my prayer will not save them. It's them meaning business with God when they pray. Actually be talking to the Lord and believing that they're talking to him when they ask for Jesus Christ and believe on Jesus Christ, his son, and get saved and ask him to save him. And a lot of them appreciate that. Some people want to pray on their own, you know, but it's from the heart. God does not look on the outward appearance. He looks at the heart. Excuse me. But it does need to include a couple elements, you know, and you explain that before they pray, about acknowledging the facts that they're a sinner, that they understand that Christ died for them and that there's a penalty for their sin, but they don't want to go to hell. I want Jesus as my Savior, and I receive him as my Savior by faith right now because of what your Word says. And bam, they're in. They keep their Word, and they ask, and God saves them. It's that simple. The simplicity of Christ. Now, after you lead the soul to receive the Lord, pray with them, rejoice with them, encourage them, ask them to start coming to church, and mention baptism to them. What the Bible, because if somebody meant business and they ask the Lord, they're listening to the rest of what you have to say attentively. They're babies in Christ now. And they have to be led. But once they get saved and God the Holy Ghost is in them and has entered them, then the tables are turned and the weights are on the Lord's side now, you see. So anyway, let's just look at the last few things, and we'll go ahead and finish this one out, this study out on witnessing. We've said just about all we need to say about witnessing and what the Lord says about it. It's very important to the Lord and very important to us. I mean, why wouldn't we want to be part of soul winning, and why are we here? If the Lord saved us and we're going to heaven and going to end up there anyway, why are we here? Why are we still here? It sure ain't because we're pretty. You say, speak for yourself, huh? But there's got to be a reason the Lord left us here. Why didn't he just take us on out and when we get saved, let us come be with him? Because we're part of the church, and the church has a mission here as long as we're here. We're to be trying to get as many people into the kingdom of God as we possibly can. While we're learning and while we're being conformed into the image of Christ. until the Lord makes his mind up when it's time and it's all over with. Until the last person gets saved that's going to accept the Lord as their Savior. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. All right, we talked about reaping. Now, let's talk about one more thing. Here are some suggestions to help you be prepared when opportunities arise for you to witness. Opportunity number one, find out the times that you can be involved with visitation at your church. Remember, we talked about that. Like any soul-winning church, and there are some that are still out there. Some of them don't care. But the one you should be involved in ought to be a Bible-believing preacher that preaches the Word of God as the Word of God, the King James Bible I'm talking about. And we won't get into all that until we talk about the Bible and talk about something that has to do with that area in our study in the ABCs. But it should be that, and it also should be a concern for soul. A church that doesn't care about souls is dangerous. Okay? Opportunity number two, find out how to get hold of your church's brochure and gospel tracts. Get you some tracts. Either make you some tracts with your testimony on it, or you can order them from Brother Chick at Chick Publications, or you can, you can get the gospel tracts as long as it's got God's Word on it, the gospel. And number three, list two or three people that you think would have you pray for and make opportunity to witness to in the near future. Just put some people down, start praying for them that you want to see get saved, and you want to make sure that they're going to heaven. Just put it down, put their names down, start praying for them, and then on purpose bring some light to them somehow. A track, a testimony, the things that we talked about. It seems like if you put them down, I mean, the Lord's not going to condemn you for zeroing in on somebody to get them saved. As a matter of fact, if you did that to me and I got saved off of it, I'd be hugging your neck rather than, what are you coming after me for writing my name down? What kind of foolishness is that? People appreciate you caring enough about them to win them to the Lord, because they have no idea what it's like being in the family of God until they get in it. And the last thing is on another sheet of paper, write out your own testimony, just like we was talking about. And don't make it all elaborate and dress it up and blah, blah, blah. Just write it. Write down, I was going to the store and this and that and the other, and I got this and that, and the Lord done this, and then this happened and this. And just write it down. That's how people read, and that's life. That's how it happens. That's how the Lord did it, and that's truth. And that's what you want, is the truth. The Lord works with the truth. But write down your testimony and tell somebody what the Lord's done for you. A testimony includes things about your life, when you got saved, how you came to know the Lord, and how you were saved, and your life as a Christian before you was born again, and your life as a Christian after your new birth. Or your life after you became a Christian. And what changes have come about in your conversion. What has the Lord changed? You know, people are not going to call you a liar. If you're sitting there saying the Lord's done this, they're going to believe you. Unless, of course, you're a fake and they know you're a fake. And we're not talking about anybody that's doing this study right here, because nobody studies the Bible sincerely and being a fake, do they? I don't think so. I don't think any of y'all are fakes. Praise the Lord. Listen, been talking about witnessing, and let me give you these scriptures for today, and this will finish out this study of witnessing. We've said enough. We could go on and on and on, but I think we've established what witnessing is and what the Bible says about witnessing. It's in the heart. And it's thanksgiving and appreciation for what God has done for you, and a burden for the souls that are back behind the eyes of all the human beings you're bumping shoulders with throughout the day. And it's caring about what your Lord cares about. And if we're sincere with the Lord and waiting on Him, and that's what all Christians are supposed to be doing right now, is waiting on the return of Christ. That's right. You're not supposed to be building no bank account. You're not supposed to be planning this and planning that. And even though you can make plans, but they're not supposed to be interfering with your walk with the Lord. And what your business is supposed to be doing spiritual, living spiritually, walking in the light, and doing what your Savior says, and learning His Word, and doing His will. Said all the law is wrapped up in these two things. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and all thy strength. Second is like unto the first. Love thy neighbor as thyself. The Lord said when you do them two things, you've accomplished the law. And it'd take the rest of our lifetimes in this flesh to do that, wouldn't it? The Lord's changing us. He's conforming us into the image of His Son. And He's working on all of us in different areas. And one thing that you should be telling the Lord is, Lord, I want to learn what it is that You're teaching me. I want to learn. And mean it. And part of it's going to be witnessing. Let me say this to you here. Here's a little something maybe you would like to do. Some people do, some people don't. But it's like a little commitment clause. It says, I accept that the Bible teaches I am to both witness and seek to win others to Christ. I do sincerely love the Lord and what He has done for me, and want others to be with me in heaven. So I pledge to involve myself in this Christian duty, first by seeking to study and memorize the Scriptures, which is 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, and pray for the lost. Then involve myself in the opportunities presented by the Lord for me to be the best witness I can be. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Amen. And then sign it and date it. And you kind of commit yourself to yourself. But committing yourself and your heart and being sincere to the Lord is the main commitment, isn't it? Yeah. All right, well, here's the Scriptures. You ready? First one was Romans 3:23. Romans 6:23. Romans 5:8. Romans 10, what was it, 10, Romans 10, 9, 9 through 13, Psalm chapter 126, verse 5 and 6, Acts chapter 20, verse 31, and there they are. So there we go. That's our study of witnessing. Praise the Lord, and you know what? Thank you so much for being so diligent to study God's Word. We've learned a lot about witnessing, haven't we? And not ashamed of a bit of it. So we're going to go into another study next time. And if I haven't inserted something in between as another W or another WX, let me see, ABC, WX, X will be the next one that we go into, and it's called X-Rated for Christians. X-Rated for Christians. Study about some things that Christians, about some things about being X-Rated things for Christians. It's interesting, but you be sure to join, and let's study together, okay? So the Lord bless you, and thank you so much for your diligence to honor the Lord and to honor His Word. He will honor you in return. Our God is real. And we have nothing to be ashamed of whatsoever about serving the Lord. And you keep on. Whatever you're going through, you keep on, and don't you quit. Don't you dare quit. You keep on serving the Lord, and you trust Him. He will come through for you. Okay? He will come through. I appreciate you and love you with Christ's love. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. And I thank you again for studying with us. Until our next recording, have a wonderful day, and the Lord bless you. Bye-bye.